Mr. Chalmers, Reel 9. Before we go on with what happened once you'd arrived at Assam, this job you had, which we hadn't mentioned, of handing out the vitamin C and the Mepocrine tablets, what exactly did that entail? That Mepocrine was obviously the anti-malaria precaution.
Yes, yes. And the other was to prevent scurvy. And I can't quite remember how it was done, but it certainly was my job to ensure that they got that. It never presented any problems.
They didn't object.
Was
the vitamin C in the form of ascorbic acid tablets?
Yes. And they were roughly the same size as the Mepocrine ones. The Mepocrine ones were pretty ghastly yellow, if I remember right.
Did the Mepocrine affect you or the men? Because it tends to turn people yellow, I believe.
Yes, it did. I don't remember the ascorbic acid having any difference in complexion that way.
But it did affect you?
Yes. But of course, one was also pretty much pretty sunburned anyway, so it just made the sunburn had a rather yellowish tinge to it.
Now, when you got to Bafata, what was the situation there? What was the setup, if you see what I mean?
Well, clearly we were there to recover, I suppose. Because
so it was a rest period?
Health-wise, yes. Health-wise, it hadn't been a very good time. We hadn't had many actual ailments, but that was where all of it.
And what sort of camp were you in? I mean, did you prepare your own camp, or was it a ready-built thing?
No, we had to make our own, really. If I remember right, we again had to dump all the troops, and we could make grass walls. There was always plenty of long grass about, and we really were living in sort of grass huts. And it was cold, and I remember making the mistake of installing a chimney which from old compost tins really, and this produced a very good chimney, but it could have set them all on fire, which was unfortunate, but like it was the other materials handy.
Now, what do you remember of this time then? You were there about 3 months, I think, weren't you? Or 3 to 4 months?
Well, technically we were based there, but we were all entitled to some leave, and I had one or two jobs which, as general liaison officer, I suppose, took me down to Calcutta.
What were you doing there? Why would you go to?
Well, on one occasion, it was certainly to take the Brigadier some documents which he needed. He was going back to East Africa, I think, for a very short visit, and he needed some documents there, and they had to be produced very quickly. So I discovered that there was an American Air Force base at Jorhat, which was very near where we were, and if one went along there and wanted to get to Calcutta, they would say, well, there's a place in that one. It was the easiest journey that one could imagine. And then, of course, flying along parallel to the Himalayas, and then we stopped one time in an intermediate place, and the pilot, I got onto a plane which was carrying a spare engine for a Dakota, so there was. That was in the belly of the plane, and I remember the pilot saying, "Say, would you like to see the Ganges one more time?" And which I did, and it was very interesting. So, I had one or two trips to Calcutta. Otherwise, it was a matter of keeping the escalade.
Was that easy enough?
Yes.
How did they get on with the local Indian population?
In fact, we didn't have awfully much contact with them, but their attitude to Indians had to a large extent been formed by the fact that a lot of the small shops in East Africa were run by Indians, the Dukas. And the Dukawalas, they felt, I suppose, were not giving them a fair deal. And also, they were, to some extent, moving in on jobs that might have gone to them. So that the Indians as a whole were not people that they looked on very kindly. We didn't, in fact, meet many in Assam. We were pretty much on our own. And so the other thing is that both in East Africa, with northern regions, the Kivu and so on, and in India, we had very little bother between the Jews and the locals. I think that's one thing that you just keep from reality, but the Askari were jolly good that way.
Now, the other thing was your leave.
Yes.
Where did you go for yours?
Well, I discovered that you were allowed, I think, 10 days and 3 days traveling time each way. So I reckoned that one could probably get to Kashmir by train that way. And so I got to train to Rawalpindi, and then by taxi up to Srinagar in Kashmir. It was pretty cold then, but I had a very pleasant 10 days up there with my young the signals officer. He was able to join me later, a day or two afterwards. And also I was able to contact an old school friend of mine who was now a medical officer with the paratroops. And he struggled with it, probably by getting appendicitis from there.
What were you doing up there? What were you actually doing? I mean, how did you spend your time in the 10 days?
We acquired a houseboat, actually, and on the Dal Lake, and explored Srinagar, went up to Gulmarg, which was then where we might have started skiing, because it was in thick snow at this time. But all places like the Shalimar Gardens and so on before they turned off, and exploring the shop. Quite a bit of purchasing for my officers.
What sort of things?
Looked on as an expert in Pashmina and a rather, I think it's Ibex wool, it's a rather superior variety of cashmere. And really had a very enjoyable time. We met three American nurses who had the houseboat next to ours, and so we had a very happy time with them. Mike, in fact, became quite friendly with one of them, and was kept exchanging letters until she died, I think, about 5 years ago.
Now, after leave, what happened then? You were still in the Bapatha area then, in Assam?
Yes, in Assam. Yeah. Well, I got back and found that by now the transport officer had been awarded 28 days leave at home, and a vacancy had come along for an animal transport course. So again, I took Jimmy Rankin's place and learned now to do the job which I had been doing, in practice, untrained, and had a lovely course for a month.
Was it as you'd thought? I mean, did it teach you anything new, or was it just what you'd done in practice?
Well, in point of fact, it was very much what we'd done in practice, but the theory about it. And a lot of quite useful information about the kind of ailments that might affect pony. We ended up on ponies and mules, but
on the course, not
on the course. Yes. Yes. And then there was a day's riding, an hour's riding lesson usually every day, which was great fun. We were up in Lansdowne in the hills, about 5,000 feet up, I suppose, near the headquarters of the Gwalior Rifles, Garfar Rifles, yes. And so we were invited to their mess and so on. It was a mixed course. I remember that the last day we spent having pulled the bear back on our ponies with hockey sticks and footballs. And my team was captained by a young Sikh who'd been the ADC to a Maharaja and was actually a brilliant rider, which meant, I'm afraid, that our team won. And I spent almost, well, certainly a full afternoon bareback on a pony. And it meant the next day, when I was actually going home by train, I had pretty well to lie flat on my tummy on the train. that was slightly uncomfortable. But we swam up, took out on, as muleteers pretty well, and swam our animals across rivers. And it was a very happy lot.
And that was at Lansdowne?
At Lansdowne, yes. And this, we were a complete mixture. And I think we had one or two European privates, and I think we went up to the Arctic captain and so on.
Now, when you rejoined your unit, did you take over as brigade transport officer, or did you just carry on in your...
I just carried on.
And you were... How much longer were you at Bapatha?
When I came back, I discovered that the unit had moved. I think it was then, and it was now in Barbathar, near Ranchi, where we ended up. So I went away from Assam and ended up in, came back to Ranchi.
So it was more Ranchi than Barpathar. Were you actually in Barpathar?
We'd been in this sort of camp all the time, and Barpathar was really the sort of place on the map that was nearest.
So you'd gone to Ranchi, which...
I went straight to Ranchi then.
And is that nearby? Sorry, I'm... No, right.
It's in Bahar.
Right.
To go from Assam to Ranchi, you'd have to go through Calcutta,
And when would that be you went to Ranchi?
I think the mule course finished. It was mainly in April, I think, and we finished in May. And then. Or places round about.
So you were just in the Ranchi area?
In the Ranchi area. Sometimes quite low down in the plains. And that was, I think, from the point of view of heat, the most unpleasant type of having 15 in the shade.
How did you cope with that hot, that heat?
Just spending the afternoon flat out, everyone did. It wasn't very pleasant.
Did it make you ill at all?
Shortly after that, I think it would be in June or July, I was ill. I had, but it turned out to be ascariasis or roundworm.
Now, where did you pick that up from? You could have had it for some time, I suppose.
That must have been something something we'd eaten or something like that.
How did you first know you'd got it, and what were the symptoms?
Violent diarrhea, yes, very, very violent. And so I was taken into the hospital and given used it very much like paraffin. I think I remember yes, one had to fast for it, but a very kind sister gave me a glass of sherry, I think, which tidied me up.
Did it last long?
No, I was just in hospital for a day or two, and once the worms had been dispelled, I was again given a fairly short secrete.
Did it trouble you, that just the nature of, I mean, some people are very, would find it horrible, you know, I mean, did it bother you? Where did you go on your sick leave?
To Nainital, which was not too far from Lansdowne, but a place from which Lansdowne was able to see on the daily occasion, but Nainital was much, you could see Nanda Devi practically every day, and really the Himalayas are worth seeing.
And when you rejoined the uni, what sort of thing were you doing? I mean, one thing was you got there in May, the war in Europe had ended. Were you aware of that? Yes. Obviously you were, but I mean, how did people feel about that, knowing that the Japanese war was still going on? I mean, how did people react? Were there V-Day celebrations?
Yes, we celebrated
V-Day. What did you do?
Well, in point of fact, that was one of the times when we were in a rather hot area, and we couldn't do very much about it, but I remember that Churchill spoke, I think, at what was 9 o'clock local time, and the King came on at what was 1 o'clock local time, and I remember when they played the national anthem, Lydia and I both stood to attention and looked round. Everybody else was flat out by then. So we were rather proud of that. We were still in operation.
So there's a fair amount of drinking going on.
That time, yes, indeed.
Would you obviously drank then more?
Yes, it seems to be a teetotaler then.
Did you drink heavily, or did the other men drink heavily?
I don't think we did normally. I think an occasion like that, an occasional mess games and so on.
What were the mess games like?
There was one in particular, kick bum, if I remember rightly.
How did that work?
Well, it was pretty much what it said. I can't remember how it happened, but at a certain stage in the evening that might happen.
Did they play any of the traditional games like Kokoliki or going round the mess without touching the ground and that sort of thing?
That was sort of difficult because we seldom were in a mess that you would do that. I've done it elsewhere, but not there.
Now, what were the unit doing? They'd been on rest, well-deserved rest. But they'd been on rest a fair while now by the time May came. Were they now moving into more of a training, or was it, what was happening?
Yes, well, we were, I think, pretty well certain to go to Malaya if the war had gone on.
So you were were you actually training for that? Or
yes.
Well,
we were doing jungle training in a very general sort of way. I mean, it wasn't specifically for Malaya, but I think that that's where we would have ended up.
And anything happened during the 3 months? You were there, I presume you were in the Ranchi area until the war?
Until the war ended, yes. Yes.
Anything happened in particular?
I can't remember that. Cheney was in the middle of August. Yes, I rather think I came back from my sick leave just about the time of the Hiroshima bomb.
Now, how did you feel about the use of the bomb, the atomic bomb?
It was actually a genuinely mixed reaction, I think, that it was pretty obvious that that would finish the war, which we were rather pleased about, because...
Did you understand what it was straight away?
Well, we knew it was something that never happened before, and it worried us. So that, I remember that the big major saying, yes, if we can finish this war, but what happens next? And I think that was a pretty genuine general reaction.
Was there any feeling about the number of casualties caused to the Japanese?
We didn't quite know quite then what it involved. We just knew that a bomb of a new type, and I think they call it the atom bomb, had been dropped before the British. But it took quite a time, really, to... I can't remember when we... full impact hit. But it was enough even to begin with.
Were you pleased yourself? Were you obviously pleased yourself that you wouldn't have to go and fight in Malaya or worse, Japan? I mean, did the personal element come in?
To some extent, but at the same time, one had become very much part of the unit, and we were ahead of. By now, with the war in Europe ending, I would have been very soon liable to be sent home, having done about 3.5 years.
Would that be early release or from the army, or was it just leave?
To get home to Britain.
Was this Python leave?
This would have been permanent, not. Leave in. It was leave in lieu of Python. That was a possibility of leave in anticipation of Python, which Jimmy Rankin had had.
Yeah.
This would have been Python. Normally you did 5 years, I think, before the war, 5 years abroad with the KER. That got reduced to 3 years, 8 months. And I think it would be brought down almost 3 years. Certainly, I would have been due to go home.
Now, were you looking forward to that? Because I think you volunteered to stay on, didn't you? Just if you could explain what was going on in your mind there.
The media put it to me that we very likely be going, this was before the war ended. We'd very likely be going into action again before the year ended. And quite a few of my friends had gone home by now and done their time abroad. Would I consider staying on? So I said,
so this, you were volunteering to stay on for till and to go into Malaya, if necessary.
Whenever it was going.
What made you do that? Because you could have gone home. I mean, I know it never happened, but you could have been killed quite easily in Malaya. Yeah. What made you decide to do it?
Well, I suppose I don't honestly know. I think it's just that this was your unit, you were part of it, and I did feel that I made the proviso that if we went into action or anywhere by the end of the year, then I'd like to go then. But this was a curious business. With the African division for so long that it became a kind of second home. And very much wanted to go home, but I could quite see the point that that probably was quite useful.
Because of your experience.
Yes, I could speak to that much. I knew the Iskari, and the. It mattered a lot to them if they had people they knew. So I could see the point, and so I agreed. Yes.
And now,
I would also have been, I came in Tellis, I think I'd probably have got a staff captain or something like that. I'd probably have been promoted.
Now, in fact, none of it happened because almost immediately. The war came to an end. Now, were there any special VJ celebrations?
Yes. The Italian, of course, the Ascari had Ngomas. Ngoma is the leader of Chimera for the drum, and it also meant a party. And I remember going back to my old battalion and the MRR, who were my colleagues with us, and meeting my old platoon, and they were in this dance by one of my corporals, Jim Mbuzi, was next door to me, holding arms and so on. And I would be told, use a depot one whenever something was going to change, instruct me on what I ought to do. It was great fun. And on occasions when people danced in the middle, I found that doing a bit of an exorial would help out and was appreciated.
Did you drink much? And would the men drink much? The African?
On
VJ day, you know.
Yes. They usually had people who could brew Bombay, the local beer. Normally it's done for the women at home, but you could usually find somebody who would do it, and that was what they would. I must say, I think I sipped it once or twice, but it might smell a bit. Then, yes, we had the party and the officers' mess and so on. Again, with the NRR, I think we did the Bangla Lion Dance, which I got invited to, which ends up with them attacking the audience with spears and stopping just time. But it was quite an honour to be invited to it.
It sounds like you were still closer with your old platoon in D Company rather than with the people you'd had in the headquarters.
Yes, they were chaps who were there to do the mainly orderlies, dispatch riders and things like that, who were less likely to do the same kind of dancing, see, whereas the people from North Rhodesia had were all pretty much, if not of the same tribe, but of similar tribes. Moreover, there was a lot of them too, and so the Ngoma goes very well if you have a big crowd at it.
Now, after that, you weren't out there much longer, were you? Because you were released from that. You'd volunteered to stay, but this released you from that.
Yes, yes. And I think one of my last jobs was laying out the plans for a brigade in Canada.
What was that like?
Well, it was great fun. Again, this was a bit where I was rather too clever. There was a race of Africans riding mules way back. And I laid out the course that, well, if I put that near our mule stables, they will go to it rather swiftly, you see, and we'll win the race, you see. But unfortunately, I ran the date contours into account, and the direct line to the mule stables was in fact a little bit below where reason dictated that the finishing course should be. And the sad thing was that none of our mules finished the course because they all went straight to stables instead of going as they should have. And so what had been recommended, the odd bet on my mule would be a good thing. And unfortunately, that didn't work, so I wasn't terribly popular.